The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, May 17th, 2015, reporting from the studios at WGBB 1240 AM in West Babylon, New York. I am your host, Gary Harding. John Panarese is across the side, across from me, and Brian Graves is on the other side of the glass. We have a fun-filled show. We were supposed to have three guests in this hour, so we're going to be talking very fast and very quickly. But unfortunately, I think our first guest, we have a little bit of a complication. His name is Jim Tamburino. He is running a program called Hockey is Hockey Day. It's going to be at the Twin Rinks at Eisenhower Park on June 5th and 6th. It is going to be a celebration of the game of hockey, whether it's on ice, in line, deck hockey, whatever. It's celebrating the sport as a two-day event. But unfortunately, right now, he's in Las Vegas coaching a team in a tournament. And I got a text, John, from him while I was at the Met game this afternoon that's saying that it could be running overtime because they ended up being in the finals, and it seemed like every game that they were involved in or the opposing team was involved in went into overtime. So everything is running late, and, of course, Brian, Mr. Diligence, is going to do anything he can to get this guest on. But just to let everybody know, for the other two guests that we're going to have Todd Dewey from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. That's right, Las Vegas. Two calls from Vegas today. Todd is the beat writer for the Las Vegas 51s, which, of course, is the AAA farm team of the New York Mets. Todd's going to come on the show and talk to us about what's going on out there with one of the hottest teams in minor league baseball. And, again, there's a rumor going around, John. I told you about it before the show. You didn't know about it.
No, I did not.
We're going to ask that to Todd right away and see what could be going on with it. But also in the last segment, we're going to speak with Joe Spallina, who is the head coach of the New York Lizards of the National Lacrosse League, the hottest team in lacrosse right now, 6-0. I never thought in the 2 years I'd be on radio that I would be talking lacrosse. But my foot doctor, Dr. Stephen Brook, who sponsors this show, is now the team podiatrist for the New York Lizards. And we went to a game last Friday night and had a lot of fun. And I have a whole different light of lacrosse. I mean, you know, if anybody remembers, there used to be a line that George Carlin had done in his act, and I will not use the word.
No,
but
probably.
I will say for people who don't know, and he basically said that, you know, there were only three real sports, baseball, football, and basketball, but he talked about lacrosse, and he said anytime you play a sport with a stick with a raised net in it, you're engaged in a bleep, bleep, bleep college activity.
Right.
You can fill in the blank. I thought that way until truthfully when I watched the game on Friday night, you know, and I obviously, we grew up on Long Island. We grew up at lacrosse. Levittown Division, my alma mater, had a good lacrosse team growing up. I mean, but I just never watched it. I never paid any attention.
You never went to the Saints when the major indoor lacrosse?
I went once or twice, but to me, the indoor game is a completely different animal.
I think so, yeah.
Than the outdoor game is. First of all, the goaltender in the indoor league looks like Garth Snow took 2,500 steroids. Okay? He's got a size 200 jersey, and he basically covers almost the entire net. In outdoor lacrosse, they don't wear that type of an outfit, so there is a lot of scoring. New York won last night, I believe, 15-14 over Chesapeake. So you know, you get a lot of offense, but it's a crazy game. I mean, you know, we always complain about the chippiness and the slashing of the sticks and stuff. In lacrosse, that's every day. You know, it's an interesting. It's an interesting concept, to say the least. But
and they play at Hofstra, correct?
They play at Hofstra Stadium, right? Absolutely. When I went last Friday night, they played against the Boston Breakers, I believe it was, and they won also. And they had close to 5,000 people there.
That's not
bad. I will say the average age was about 14. A tremendous amount of kids. Most of them carrying that third appendage, which is their lacrosse stick. They carry it around like it's Linus's security blanket. But, it was a lot of fun. You know, I mean, you know, a very exciting game. Obviously, you know, for people that like offense, you know, yeah. So people like offense, it's a great thing. So unfortunately, Jim, maybe they won. So he's probably celebrating, but
hopefully.
I believe that we're going to try to put something up on the Sports Talk 1240 site concerning this weekend because it's also going to include on Saturday night, I believe, an alumni game. Which is going to feature some former NHL, AHL players, obviously the Ferraro brothers, who everybody may know as Long Islanders. Peter played both for the Islanders and, you know, Chris played both for the Islanders and the Rangers. Peter played for the Rangers. There's a lot of NHL guys that are here, obviously. I would believe Eric Cairns, possibly, Aaron Asham, you know, because they live on Long Island. Aaron moved back after playing, you know, all those years and is teaching at Iceworks right now. So I'm sure they're going to be involved. And it should be, again, anybody that loves the game, whether they skate, whether they watch as a fan, it's I believe it's free the whole weekend. So
when is it? Is this?
It's Friday and Saturday, June 5th and 6th. So it's two weekends from now. I believe, as a matter of fact, I believe on Friday night they're having a draft, you know, with all the guys that are, you know, playing. They're actually going to have, like, a fantasy draft.
Yeah, like they did for the...
kind of like the All-Star game, yeah.
Right.
So I don't know, again, I don't know who's going to be there, but if you are a fan of the game of hockey, and we know a lot of people that listen to our show, as well as Derek and John Sweeney, you know, those guys are big hockey people, big hockey fans that watch and listen to our show and see us on the webcam. Please make sure you go out and check it out. There's going to be some stuff on the Sports Talk 1240 website. I'm also going to talk about it on Oz Talk on our blog. But you know what? Why don't we just talk about some other things that are going on? Obviously, the Rangers won another 2-1 game last
right.
night.
Off the shin.
I mean, tell me. I mean, when Game 7 was over, the Rangers won, and you realized they were going to be playing Tampa Bay. Even though we know what the backstory is, you know, Ben Bishop is 8-0 lifetime against the Rangers before yesterday afternoon. All I could think of was there's going to be 5-4 games.
Right.
It's going to open up. The skating's going to open up. There's not going to be as much hitting. So you're going to have a lot of odd man rushes, great opportunities at the net. You did have that. But, of course, as usual, Henrik Lundqvist and Ben Bishop played out of their rear ends yesterday.
Well, I just want to make one comment, though, about the Washington series with the Rangers. I think Alexander Ovechkin better stop guaranteeing that his team is going to win, because as far as I can recall, every time he's guaranteed that, it usually has the opposite result.
Yeah. Actually, it was a picture. And it must have been some bar in the city, but they started serving a drink called an Ovechkin, and it was a white Russian with no ice and no cup. I think it was perfect. And somebody else had a sign that basically said another person from Washington that's spreading false truths. So, you know, I give the Ranger fans credit. They came out with some funny, funny stuff. But, you know, regardless of, you know, everybody knows that listens to the show where our fan allegiance lies. If you take that out of the equation and just look at it as two hockey teams that were playing, that was a fantastic series.
Yeah.
No question about it. You know, I'm not necessarily the biggest 2-1 fan. I mean, I am more of a 2-1 fan than a 5-4 fan, but I really enjoyed this tremendously, you know. But unfortunately, my wife took control of the remote control and would not let me watch Game 7. No, we were actually doing things in the house, and it turned out that for whatever reason, I knew it was going into overtime, and my wife had a problem with her iPad. Truthfully, it was the power cord on her iPad, and I'm playing with it, and I'm trying to get it working, and all of a sudden, and as soon as I finally got the plug fixed, and as soon as her screen popped up, and boom, Derek Stepan scores the game winner, and the Rangers win in 7. And I'm like, you had to make me fix this, Claire? So... But obviously, you know, again, a great, you know, unfortunate bounce gives the Rangers the 2-1 win in Game 1, Game 2 tomorrow night, obviously, at MSG. Tonight, the Anaheim Ducks basically manhandled the Chicago Blackhawks and won 4-1. They've had a week off. I mean, that's got to be tough.
I mean, Chicago had more shots, and Chicago had a lot more puck control, but Anaheim just beat the snot out of them.
And again, that's something that whichever team comes out of the Eastern Conference is going to have to fear. I mean, obviously Anaheim, I mean, Chicago is not a light team either. They can play the physical game. They are tough when they have to be. You know, they'll bring it up a notch or two. But Anaheim is just,
it's a punishing,
they're monsters.
Punishing team.
You know, you can beat them one game. You can find a way to beat them one game. But when you have to play a team like that in a seven-game series, obviously, as they saw with the Capitals, you know, they saw the physical intimidation. And again, what did I tell you before the playoffs started, before we knew who was going to be there, who I thought the Rangers should get in the first round? You remember?
No.
Boston.
Oh, that's right, Boston.
I was saying they had to play Boston because Boston would have beat the living daylights out of them, and they would have, you know, basically softened in the next two rounds. We'll see what happens with the Rangers. They came out well. I mean, but again, the fact of the matter is you're playing a similar team. You're playing a similar
team. Yeah, Tampa's not an overly physical team. And the way you beat the Rangers is you got to be physical and you got to take their speed away from them. Mm-hmm. And that's how Washington had the three games success.
The three games to one lead, exactly, yeah. Until somebody opened their mouth and collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, as I saw on some of the Islander boards this week, some people were saying, you know what, we're happy the Rangers won because at least they beat the team that beat us.
Yeah.
You know, but they felt happy for about 6.2 seconds, and then after that, that's about it. Then they went back to hating him again. So it's just typical. But, you know, as I said this morning, I went to Citi Field. Just happened. I didn't have it planned. We had bought the tickets a couple of weeks in advance, and we saw Noah Syndergaard's first start at Citi Field.
Yeah, that's great.
He is the real thing. I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, Todd Dewey from the Las Vegas Review Journal, when we get him on at 8:20, we'll talk more about that. And Syndergaard just dominated. I mean, I think the first two innings, as I mentioned to you off air, I think he only had three balls in two innings. He was just dominating. His fastball up at 97, 98, and then he'd come in and drop an 80 mile an hour curveball on. And his change, I mean, he throws so hard. His changeup is 90. It's like he's like Matt Harvey. He's got who would ever think you'd have a 90-mile-an-hour changeup? You know, but he definitely had control. And unfortunately, you know, if you didn't hear or find out anything about the game today, Carlos Gomez got basically beamed in the head with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. There was definitely no malice. The Mets were up 5-1. There was no reason. He based truthfully, after watching the replay, he just lost the pitch. You know, he just lost it. And the helmet went about probably 6 feet behind him, and he was just flat, face first into the dirt. He did get up right away on his own power, you know, afterwards, you know,
right,
after a couple
of
minutes.
Which is good.
Which is great, you know, and I'm sure. And watching the TV screen, watching the monitor, you can see that Syndergaard looked a little bit befuddled. You know, he looked a little shocked.
Yeah.
You know, which again, he's a young kid, you know. I mean, you know, these things are going to happen, and I think his game suffered a little bit in the sixth inning. You know, obviously he gave up a run in the fifth and in the sixth and put a couple guys on, got out of the inning. I think he only threw 80-something pitches. But, you know, very, very impressed. And you can see, you know, what the fuss has been about for this kid for the last 3 years when they picked him up in the Carlos Beltran trade, you know, from the San Francisco Giants. So, you know, there's a lot of good things to talk about with the Mets. I mean, obviously, I don't know what ended up in the score of the Washington Nationals game because they were playing this afternoon in San Diego. Actually, I'm just looking as we speak. Actually, Washington did win 10-5, so they're only a half game ahead of Washington right now, and Washington's, you know, after their miserable start, are on fire right now. And, you know,
Which you expected.
I expected this. You know, I basically predicted this team to win the World Series anyway. You know, they've got everything. They've got a strong pitching staff. I mean, when you got a former Cy Young Award winner as your number four.
Yeah.
I mean, what does that tell you, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I don't expect the Mets to stay ahead of them all year long. But I, you know, the way things are going, you expect them to compete.
They're looking good.
And again, you're missing your starting catcher. You're missing your starting third baseman. Your third baseman is probably maybe a month away now because they pushed him back. I believe Travis d'Arnaud is getting an X-ray tomorrow, and if they determine he's okay, he can begin batting practice, which means he's probably 10 to 14 days away from coming back.
Right.
You know, and they've had a nice job with Plawecki and Recker, you know, to fill in. You know, they're actually carrying three catchers right now. But they can send one or two back once Darnell comes back in. I have a feeling, though, at some point in this season that Darnell is going to come off the plate because he is enough of an athlete from what I've seen, and they actually did a little bit of it this season that he might in preseason that he might actually go out in the outfield for a while and spell somebody. You know, spell a Lagares or spell a Granderson or a Kadire. You know, I mean, Kadire's a great ball player, but he's 36 years old, so you want to give him the opportunity to get a day off here or there. You know, when you got Recker, who's a great foot soldier behind the plate, you know, and get you that crazy home run when you need it, you know, I mean, two the other night in a losing effort. But, you know, you got to be happy with the Mets right now. 7 games over .500. You know, all I wanted them was to be competitive and get to .500. And, you know, if they've been doing this without two of their main offensive weapons and your number one catcher and your number one all-star player, if you will, you know, you've got to be happy with that.
Right. And at one point, 11 game winning streak.
Yep.
So you know.
Absolutely. And again, it seems to be spreading as we were talking when we're going to talk to Todd Dewey from the Las Vegas Review Journal in a few minutes. You know, the Las Vegas 51s had a 14 game winning streak. I think they've won 18 out of 20. I mean, it's exactly what you want from your Triple-A team to know that those guys are as hungry as anything to come up. And truthfully, for years and years and years, the history of Triple-A for the Mets, yes, they've brought a lot of great players up, but their teams themselves have been abysmal.
Right.
You know, and obviously playing in Las Vegas where you have the higher elevation, you got the batting averages inflated, you got the ERAs inflated. But this year with Syndergaard before he came up, Steven Matz right now is throwing lights out, you know, for them. And they're getting great contributions up and down the lineup there. And their double-A team in Binghamton has been doing so well so that when guys have been called up from Binghamton to replace the guys that have gone up to the majors, it's pretty much a seamless transition. So things are just going well for Wally Backman. And, you know, we're going to have to ask Todd in a couple minutes as to, you know, what's the situation. So you know what, Brian? I think we're going to take that break right now. And when we come back, we'll have Todd Dewey from the Las Vegas Review Journal to talk about the Las Vegas 51s. You got Gary and John here on Sports Talk 1240 WGBB. We'll be right back.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
And we're back on Sports Talk 1240. This show of John and mine, as always, sponsored by Country Foot Care of Mineola and Williston Park. The doctors at Country Foot Care offer holistic conservative treatment options backed by years of education and experience. For your convenience, they offer a full line of products to enhance your customized treatment plan and some just to pamper your feet a little bit. For more information, you can check their website at countryfootcare.com or call 516-741-FEET. Again, I have been a patient of Dr. Brooks for over 20 years, and I absolutely recommend him for any podiatric assistance. And we've got our first guest on the line. This gentleman is the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal for the Las Vegas 51s, who folks don't know is the AAA affiliate of the New York Mets. And his name is Todd Dewey. And Todd, it's Gary and John here on WGBB 1240 on Long Island. How are you doing this afternoon, or evening, I should say now?
Yeah, doing great. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure, sir. But, you know,
yeah, I was later than you, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, we got to spell a rumor really quick. Obviously, I'm sure you've heard that the Miami Marlins fired Mr. Redmond as their manager following the game in Atlanta where they almost got no hit. It was, from what we heard, it was like 30 minutes after the game, he was basically given his walking papers. Have you heard anything? Because obviously, you know, your manager is right now white hot. And for those of you who don't know out here, it's Wally Backman. Has there been any talk about a possibility in Florida for him?
You know, I heard about that a couple of weeks ago when, you know, it was first reported that it looked like they were going to be firing Redmond and his name was mentioned. And at that time, he said he hadn't heard anything and, you know, so that no one had approached him. He didn't really have any friends in the front office there. And then they went on a little bit of a hot streak and hadn't heard anything since. And just to let you know, I'm the beat writer, but I cover all the home games. I don't travel with them on the road, so I wasn't with them today or yesterday. So I haven't heard anything since, you know, the rumor popped up a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Actually, wish I could help you more on that.
That's all right. We just figured we'd start with
that. Backman deserves an opportunity in the big leagues for sure. I mean, they've won, yeah, back-to-back 80-win seasons out here, and, you know, they're 25-13 right now. They had a franchise record 14-game winning streak, 19 in the last 24. They keep sending all kinds of guys for the Mets. I mean, I love Wally Backman, just an old-school guy, and I really think, you know, he's had success everywhere he's been. And obviously everybody knows all about him back there. Deserves an opportunity. He would do great if given the chance.
I think he would. They were talking about him managing the Mets, you know, at certain times. And I think a lot of Met fans, you know, if they had their druthers, it would be him managing right now. So
yeah, you know, no, I know he's a huge fan favorite from back in 86.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, you know, you kind of gave us a little background. You actually beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you to give sort of a what's been happening with the 51s, but definitely white hot at this point. First place in their division. 14 in a row, I believe you said they won at one point.
Yeah. They had a franchise record 14-game win streak. And they had won 18 out of 20 before. They just lost their third in four games today. But before that, yeah, they were on like an 18-2 run and 14 straight. They started off 6-8, and been 19-5 since.
Yeah, turned it completely around.
Well, that's it. Losing three or four, then maybe Wally won't get the job.
So
I don't know what's holding them back, really.
Yeah.
Obviously, as you know, the Mets AAA affiliate, we get to see a lot of the fruits of the labor, so to speak, who come up and play for the Mets. Eric Campbell, to name one person. Of course, our most recent addition, who Gary got to see pitch today at Citi Field, Noah Syndergaard. Give us some background as to who is really the hot players. I took a look at the roster earlier, and a couple of people jumped out at me, and there's one guy I want to talk to you in particular about. But give us a little background on who's really leading the team, who's really contributing.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Noah Syndergaard, and I know, you know, being on Long Island, you know, about Steven Matt.
That's who I was going to ask you about next.
Yeah, the left-handed pitcher out here. I mean, those guys have been lights out this season and pushing each other, and obviously Syndergaard's up there right now. And they also, you know, Campbell was leading the league in hitting when he was down here. You know, he's been a couple stints up in the big leagues, but he's hitting 440. Alex Castellanos. They get some kind of like some veteran, you know, AAA guys like Alex Castellanos has, you know, been one of the top hitters out here, a bunch of homers and three-something. They had one of the other top hitters in the league, Travis Tyrone, who's come up from AA in like 360. Another kid up from AA, Daryl Siciliani, you know, hitting like 340. And they got Matt Reynolds down here in like 300. He was just leading all of AAA in virtually every offensive category. And, of course, they had Dilson Herrera, who was hitting 370 here among the league leaders as well before he went up and then, you know, got hurt. But those are pretty much just a lot of hitters, a lot of young guys, and the pitching staff with Syndergaard and Mats has pretty much been leading the way.
And Mats, I was looking at the stats. He's got a 1.80 ERA playing in Vegas, where, you know, you would expect ERAs to kind of balloon with the you know, the dry heat.
Oh yeah, exactly. Because that's what, you know, Syndergaard struggled here for the first time in his life, like a 4-something ERA. But this year, I think you know, Frank Viola, another Long Island guy, the pitching coach out here, and he mentioned that he thought before this season that Mats and Syndergaard, it would be good for the both of them to have that competition and push each other. And I think that might have really been a key for Syndergaard to finally get on track, because Mats has been, you know, lights out from the start, and then Syndergaard started matching them, and they just kept going back and forth with some, you know, 7 shutout innings each and no hit innings. Like Mats, he pitched on Friday night, took a 1-hitter into the 8th inning, and before giving up a bunt single and then a walk, the guy stole third, and then there was another infield hit before they took him out. And he's such a competitor too. He was like this visibly upset, although they just scraped for a run on, you know, a couple infield hits. He's a really fierce competitor out there. He gives up anything.
Do you think, obviously, if you for people that don't know Steven Matz's career, he had Tommy John surgery and also pitched in, I believe it was Savannah with Frank Viola a couple of years back, and obviously, you know, bringing Frank to the AAA level, I would think that's been like a major result of Stevens, I guess, continued maturation. Well, because I know when I was actually down in Savannah a couple of years ago when he was pitching down there, and they were actually saying in the papers there how that Viola kind of took him under his wing, being a lefty and all, you know, fellow lefty and fellow Long Islander, and really worked with him. And it seems to me that, you know, that combination has just been wonders for Stevens' confidence in Vegas this year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I asked him all about that connection, and you know, Viola definitely says that they just have a good relationship just from the fact that they are from the same neck of the woods. And Matt's, you know, yeah, after he was drafted out of high school, you know, yeah, it took him, he was drafted in 09, and he didn't pitch in the pros until 2012 because of complications from Tommy John, and his first pro season was in Savannah, yeah, where he said he learned a lot of stuff from Viola about just how to be a pro, because he didn't even pitch much in high school, really, until his senior year, and then he was hurt, so he really did, like, as far as routines and, you know, what you do between starts, he learned from Viola. And Viola has really said, you know, with everything he's gone through, that's really helped him as well mature, and that he can basically handle any type of adversity because he's been through so much already. And, you know, Matt told me he basically looks at everything he went through as a blessing. And they have a good relationship. And Viola actually compared him to Madison Bumgarner. Throughout, and I know Mets pitching coach Dan Worthen compared him to Kershaw, even. I mean, being a lefty and a hard thrower. And Viola said Bumgarner because just based on the fact that he's had some really huge games in the playoffs. Like, he took like a no-hitter into the 7th or 8th inning last year for AA Binghamton in the championship game, and they won the championship. And the year before in Savannah, he also won like the decisive game in the playoffs. So he just comes up big in the playoffs, just a real competitor.
How long do you think before he gets his shot? I mean, obviously Noah came up and, you know, he's got, you know, I guess, in a way, blessings due to injury. But how far do you think Steve is maybe from making his debut?
I think, I mean, we're talking back, I'm just watching him pitch. I mean, it looks like you know, he's ready now. It just seems, you know, just a matter of, you know, if there's an opening up there. But it just looks pretty promising for the future, you know, once you get Wheeler back from injury, with Harvey and Wheeler and DeGrom, who was here last year, and Syndergaard and Matz. I mean, really,
it's an amazing,
pretty impressive young rotation.
Yeah. It sounds like the early 70s with the Mets. Todd, let me just give maybe the people here a little bit of an insight, you know, because actually somebody had asked me a Twitter question about this, and maybe you can shed light, being that you're from the area. What is it? Is it just the fact that the cities where they're playing in AAA out in the Pacific Coast League, obviously the Albuquerques, the Vegases, the Colorado cities, just because of the high elevation, that seems like when you look at the statistics that the batting numbers are inflated? Can you just give the people out here a little bit of a maybe an understanding about that as to why it is?
I mean, maybe a lot to do with the elevation. Yeah, you know, Colorado Springs, obviously well documented how you know, the ball flies in Colorado and the altitude. And pretty much that's about it, you know. And I know, like, maybe a lot of the parks in the International League is just known as, you know, a pitcher's league, whereas out here it's definitely known as a hitter's league. And, yeah, I mean, pretty much the elevation and – I don't really know. Yeah, the ball just seems to fly out here.
Yeah, John.
That would, you know, that's you know, because that's what struck me when I was looking at the stats for the lineup. You know, all the guys who were hitting well over 300, and, you know, there just seems to be a very good balance as far as the number of home runs that are hit by the players. I mean, you know, I was seeing, you know, 3, 5, 6, 8 home runs. So I guess it must, you know, I guess it does have a lot to do with the, you know, with the atmosphere, so to speak. But who are, you know, just again,
yeah, the dry air.
Yes,
the ball just does fly.
And yes. Todd, I'm sure. I don't think you since you say you only cover the home games, so you weren't there when I saw the a clip on YouTube last week of Syndergaard's home run. I believe it was in Albuquerque or whatever. I mean, he launched that thing. That was like 440 feet. Yeah, it was.
I know. That was a shot to center. I saw that as well.
The deepest part of the ballpark, John.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
A pitcher.
And today, actually, I don't know if you saw it, Todd, but one of the outs that that Syndergaard had, he hit one to almost dead center at Citi Field. He actually made Gomez, who got hit by that pitch in the sixth inning, he ended up having to be full sprint back to just to the edge of the warning track. I mean, in most places, that could have been, it almost could have been gone. So
yeah,
it just shows.
Yeah, the pitches on the 51s, they could all hit the ball really well.
But
I mean, I guess they say they look at it as a positive as well. Like, if a guy, like, because, like, I remember when the Blue Jays were here, sometimes they would just have guys skip AAA, you know, not to hurt their confidence pitching out here. But the way, you know, Loyola and these guys look at it is, if, you know, if they could succeed out here, where, you know, it's such a hitter's league, they could succeed anywhere.
Right. Now, you know, the background as far as the 51s go, because I was doing some reading and it was quite interesting. The team's been around for about 30 plus years, and prior to the Mets, it was the Toronto Blue Jays affiliate, correct?
Up 1983, so it's the 33rd year, and they had the Padres, and then they had the Dodgers, which, of course, being so close, those would be the ideal teams to have affiliates, but. Cashman Field, you know, it's one of the oldest ballparks in AAA, and they don't have the facilities as nice of facilities as some of the newer parks, and that's one of the reasons, probably the main reason, the Dodgers moved back to Albuquerque, where they were before they came to Vegas, because Albuquerque did a bunch of renovations to the ballpark and clubhouse. Like, they have batting cages out here. It's actually, like, right next to ballpark, outside the ballpark, though, like, basically it's like batting cages in the parking lot out here, and when it's 110 degrees, you know, in the summer, it's pretty rough on everybody.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, that's what I was going to actually bring up to you, Todd, is that, you know, I mean, you're in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You got architectural monstrosities. Right. You got architectural monstrosities all over the place. And you think they can't build a baseball park? I mean, what's the deal?
They've been trying. It's been a...
Don't you get Steve Wynn on speed dial?
Exactly. You think these guys just throw a little pocket change and build a park.
But, right. I mean, they're talking about bringing an NHL team to Vegas, which would be a cool thing since we're hockey. We're basically hockey guys, Todd. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I didn't like it at first, but I mean, you know, it sounds like they've gotten, you know, they're getting that off the ground at least. So that's a possibility right?
That arena is going up. That's an MGM, AEG arena, the people that built the Staples Center. And that one's like, that's going up as, you know, as we speak. Right behind the New York out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that looks like a pretty good deal. I mean, they've been trying to get a ballpark built. The new owners of the 51s took over before last season. It's the Howard Hughes Corporation, which...
Well, they have a buck. You know,
They built a big shopping complex and urban area. It's kind of all of a sudden a nice area of town where they wanted the ballpark to be the centerpiece, but they want some public money. And, you know, like the MGM Arena that's going up for hockey, they just built that on their own, all private. And, you know, everyone's kind of balking at giving the private money. And so that's why back in like 08, 07, they were thinking about building it, but that's when kind of the economy crashed and all that. The recession there, and so those plans went by the wayside. They were kind of close back then. But, yeah, they've been talking about getting the park for years. Just hasn't been able to get rolling.
Oh, that's a real shame. So, listen, Todd, as we got to wrap up.
They keep having success.
As long as they're winning, you know, and they get people the show, that's a good thing, right? So, listen, Todd, for anybody that wants to get their Mets research in and check out what's going on the minor league side, how can they reach out to you and find what you're writing about with the 51s?
VRJ.com and Sports 51s, at Todd Dewey, at T Dewey 33 on Twitter. And, check it out.
All right, great. All right. Well, listen, Todd, we appreciate the few minutes with you. Enjoy the rest of the season. Hopefully it gets a little cooler for you with that instead of 110 degrees. But thanks for coming on Sports Talk 1240 tonight.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take care. All right, that's Todd Dewey from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pretty good insight with what's going on with the 51s. Again, you know, you really wonder if Backman's going to have a shot for this because they said there's going to be an announcement tomorrow, but they've left it pretty much in the lurch. So, you know, we don't know what specifically is going to happen. You know, it'll be quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be nice for Wally, but it'll be sad in a way, too, you know.
But, you know, I know the Mets have a bunch. You know, they basically have one of the best minor league organizations right now in the country. You know, say what you want about Sandy Alderson and what he hasn't done for the big club, but he's building down there. I mean, you said, as you heard Todd say, Binghamton won the Double A.
Right.
I think every minor league team in the Mets system was above 500 last year. I mean, that says something. Every single one of them.
Yeah, and I read someplace that they're considered the second best organization as far as, you know,
minor league talent
goes.
Yep.
I forgot who was the first. But
yeah, I know. I've seen that stat as well. But it's very impressive with how they're doing. You know, and you know, Steven Matz. Like I said, it's a great story for the New York City, Long Island area. You know, I saw something on. I can't remember the kid's name that's catching, the third-string catcher they have up here, but they said he's the 38th New York area player to play for the New York-born player to play for the Mets.
That's
in 50 years, 38 guys? You figured there'd be more than that. I figured there would be double that, but you know, it looks like Steven Matz is going to be the 39th once you know he gets the call-up. And again, who knows what's going to happen? You know, obviously Dylan G is on the DL. He's rehabbing now. He's going to have a chance to come back. You know, what will they do when he's ready? Will he be taking Syndergaard's spot? Will Syndergaard go back to Vegas? Will they trade him? You know, everybody thought that G was going to be trade bait, you know, especially the way Syndergaard started in the preseason. They thought he was going to have a good chance to make the big club. So, you know, it's a lot of big decisions for Sandy Alderson to make. But you know what? Right now you can't hold back, you know, talent like that. And if Matz is tearing it up –
Give him a shot.
If he's got a low ERA in an area where runs are usually aplenty, and they are
1.8
ERA in that area.
Yeah, 7 starts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. We're supposed to have our third guest, Joe Spallina, who's the head coach of the New York Lizards, to come on. I know he should. We're just trying to get in touch with him, and unfortunately, Jim Tamburino didn't make it. For anybody who is interested in checking out the Hockey is Hockey Day information, if you are a member of Facebook, and we know most of you people that are listening are, just do a search for Hockey is Hockey Day. Again, it's from June 5th to 6th at the Twin Rinks at Eisenhower Park. And I'm just going to read on the Facebook. It's a celebration of hockey and a tribute to our grassroots. Free admission everyone Friday and Saturday. The celebration of the game we love and a tribute to our grassroots that will feature several events throughout the day for ice, inline, and ball hockey hockey player and supporters. It's being hosted by the Ferraro brothers and a company called Tambo Hockey. The events include ice and inline clinics, inline open hockey sessions with music, food, and entertainment, youth/adult deck hockey and inline hockey games, all leading up to the main event on Saturday night, which is an inline hockey game featuring some of the best inline and ice players from the local areas. And again, it's supposed to be AHL, NHL, Division I college, ECHL guys, anybody from the area. Again, Friday and Saturday night, there's going to be the draft, and then there's going to be all sorts of clinics all day Saturday starting at 11 a.m. Through 7:30, which is going to be the main event game, which is going to be 3 15-minute periods with 12 skaters and 2 goaltenders on each team. Definitely check out Twin Rinks. If you do a Google search for the Twin Rinks at Eisenhower, and you can probably get information there for it as well. Just looking at the schedule, and of course, big game seven in the NBA. The Houston Rockets knocked out the LA Clippers. I think it's the first time the Rockets have been in the conference finals since they won in 1994 when they beat the Knicks. And you know, John's sitting here looking at me like he doesn't give one who.
I had no idea it was even going on, to be honest with you.
I get it. Obviously, Cleveland is playing Atlanta, I believe, in the Eastern Conference Finals. So,
no offense to any NBA people.
No, we're just not basketball guys. I don't say it negatively. It's just the way it is.
My thing. It's a great sport,
exactly.
But it's just not my interest.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets didn't get Marcus Mariota. You know, I'm sure Derek is wallowing in sorrow about that. You know, but Derek's happy about his Rangers. So
yeah,
you know,
I'm sure.
You know, he's it is what it is. Obviously, looking at some of the other things on the scoreboard, the Mets obviously we said won 5-1 today, 14 runs last night, a 10-run fourth inning. Jacob DeGrom, 2 hits in the fourth inning, which is pretty cool. He went 3-for-3 last night, which is outstanding. The Yankees lost today 6-0 in Kansas City. They've lost 5 of 6 after their rip-roaring start. So they're coming back
down to earth
as well. I know A-Rod last night hit his 663rd home run.
Asterisk.
But you know what? I won't say at least in respect that at least A-Rod has come out this year and has played the proper citizen. I mean, he's done a lot of things outside the game. He's actually been almost enchanting with the media in some instances. You know, he's actually done things that have surprised me. And I think, you know what, maybe it's you could consider it a ploy maybe to try to be a better citizen or what have you. And he may want to try to get his Q ratings up, if you will.
Yeah,
but he has been playing bad. You know, I mean, granted, you know, I mean, all the situation, he's actually come out and has been a help to the Yankees. You know, I mean, right now with the way that the Yankees are set up, you know, they need it.
Yeah. They were, by the way, one of the worst farm systems as far as depth of talent goes.
Well, it's always been that way because,
yeah.
You know, they were always looking to upgrade themselves in that September swoons that they have. When they've been winning their championships, and what were they doing? They were trading their top prospects that were in A ball and double A ball. And by the time they, you know, you see the team at AAA, it's basically, I won't say washed up, but I'll say, guys in the major league level with that's got very much a treadmill history. So it's hard to say what's you know, what's going to happen with them. You know, what are they going to do in, you know, in the future? But, you know, again, as Met fans as we are, we've got to be happy with the way, you know, they're set up. You know, I mean, you know, I love listening to Boomer and Carton in the morning making fun of Terry Collins. It is an absolute joy how they just rip him to shreds every day, laughing at him, you know, with all his sayings and interesting stuff that's going on. Hopefully I didn't give a wrong phone number. Like I said, right now, looking at the standings again, the Mets are still in first place right now, a half a game lead over the Washington Nationals. The Yankees are still in first place, a game up over Tampa, but again, 4-6 in their last 10. And you know, Tampa Bay, a team that no one expected to do anything because they basically depleted all their assets, including their pitching, have come up and come up and done quite well. But you know, you look at that division up and down, and it's, you know, they're all just above. I mean, the Yankees are 5 over, but everybody else is winning a couple of games of 500. So
is surprising, because I really thought that Baltimore and Toronto would do a lot better than they've been playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Baltimore had a couple of, you know, losing Cruz, losing the home run champion last year, who's got, what, 15 or 16 already for Seattle?
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, it's not helping them because they're in the middle of the pack. And would you have thought in your right mind that the Houston Astros would be 25-13?
And they had a big winning streak.
Two years ago, they had 25 wins in the middle of September.
Right.
You know, I mean, here they are. It's a great testament to them, and it's a bunch of young kids that are just, you know, just doing absolutely fantastic. And you can't say enough about them. I mean, you know, looking around in the rest of the other divisions, you know, the things that you would expect the St. Louis Cardinals to be where they are. You know, they're solid. You know, I think the Cardinals may have been one of the best minor league teams. Systems.
Yeah, maybe that.
They're always up there. You always know, no matter what guys leave St. Louis, they always end up coming back and getting some kind of help and, you know, come back. The Dodgers right now, of course, with their system and their money that they're spending on talent, you know, they're right now at 24-13, 4.5 ahead of the Giants. You know, the Giants usually, you know, every year after their World Series, they tend to have a little bit of a brain fart.
Yes,
and then come back the following year. You know, San Diego, for all the hype that they had, they're sitting at 19-20. You know, I think their pitching is struggling right now. You know, and obviously looking, you know, Pittsburgh is struggling right now, 18-20. Philadelphia is down in the bottom of the National League East, which there's a smile on my face, John. Now, you can't see it, but believe me, there is.
Believe me, I'm happy about
that,
exactly.
Too.
All the years of crap from them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the other thing that shocks me is Oakland is 13-26.
Yeah.
My
brother Glenn is a big Oakland fan, so he's lamenting.
And the other surprise, and again, I think it's the curse of Sports Illustrated, because who did Sports Illustrated say was going to win the World Series this year? Do you know?
No.
Do you remember?
No, I don't remember.
The Cleveland Indians.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because
Cleveland right now, 14-22, 9 games out of first place, and of course Kansas City's in first place. And everybody thought Kansas City was going to fall after their amazing season last year. They're out of the box 24-14, and they're getting help everywhere. And again, from guys you don't know.
Right. Just another collective effort.
A collective $65-70 million salary cap team that's just proving, you know, all these big theorists and all these big, you know, people wrong, and it's a great thing. So, you know, just to prove our program director wrong, you know, we can talk about other things.
Yes, besides hockey.
We could talk about other things besides hockey. You know, I mean, we were hoping to get Joe Spallina from the New York Lizards on, but you know, like I said,
that would have been an interesting.
I've heard some interesting stories about him, and again, interesting stories about the team. And again, if you want to check out information on the New York Lizards, check out nylizards.com. Their next home game, I believe, is on April the 30th, 2 weeks from tonight.
May 30th.
Did I say April?
Yeah.
Where's my head, John? They're playing the Charlotte. Oh, no, actually, sorry. Take that back. They're on the road on May 30th. They have a week off next week. They are at Charlotte playing the Charlotte Hounds. Their next game is on home game at Schuett Stadium at Hofstra University is on June the 5th, where they play the Florida Launch. Again, tickets are very inexpensive. It's a great night out. The kids love the game. I mean, there's so much going on. There's There's even like little exhibitions before the game. You know, I think they open up Shewitt Stadium about an hour and a half before. So the game is on Friday, June 5th at 7:30. So I think they open it up at 6 o'clock. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of interactive stuff. They have one of those, like, you know, like they do with the Ducks where they have the speed gun.
Oh, yeah.
They have things
yeah.
where you can shoot the ball.
Right.
And, I mean, there was some people throwing the ball 80 miles an hour. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But, you know, there's a lot of interactive stuff to do. And, again, it's a real, absolutely interesting game. I was more and more impressed with it as I go along. I mean, just the, you know, the, again, the incredible athletes, the incredible running that they have to do, the incredible tenacity, especially when you got guys like throwing sticks at you. And, you know, again, where we would say, you know, a guy running up the field, say, you know, it's basically the equivalent of a football field. So when they're running 70, 80 yards coming up from the back end to the front, I swear, if it was a hockey game, there would be about 13 slashing penalties just in that one run. Forget about anything else. I mean, you know, but just looking at the stats real quick, Paul Rabil, who's basically what I would consider the heartthrob of the New York Lizards. I mean, the girls swoon for him. He wears 99. He's kind of almost the Wayne Gretzky of the team. Actually was acquired in a trade from Boston. And, you know, the strange thing about this league, the Major League Lacrosse, is that all these games are usually on the weekend, and most of these guys, because it's not a, you know, a professional sport where they make a lot of money, most of these guys work 9 to 5 all week. And then they, you know, they practice
right.
at night and then, you know, have their games on the weekend. So it's, you know, to me it's a blue-collar game when you think about it, you know, and
how much could they possibly be?
I don't know. You know, and I can probably find out. But you know, but the point of the matter is, this is where you see where the guys love the game.
Right.
You know this. You know they're not worried about making the big bucks. They're into you know, still be a part of the game. And most of these guys, you know, they're not old. You know, they're in their mid to late 20s. You know, so a couple of guys in their 30s. You know, like just like any sport, like soccer or baseball, or what have you. But you know, these are guys that love the sport. And
that's why you'd be playing it if you
Exactly. You know, I mean, if I was, you know, 20 years younger and 30 pounds lighter, you know, I'd probably want to still play baseball now, you know, especially with all the weight I've lost. But, you know, again, a typical lacrosse game, a typical outdoor lacrosse game, you got, you know, they won last night against Chesapeake 15-14. 29 goals. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
That's a lot of excitement, you know, and a lot of people would lose their voice by the end of the game. They're screaming so much. You know, could you imagine now in the game going 15-14, John?
No, I can't. I don't think Capuano or Godsnow would want to see that.
Okay, John, in the couple minutes we got left before Jake Brown comes on at 9 o'clock, I'm going to put you on the spot, okay? You are coming tomorrow. The Islander Booster Club has a meeting tomorrow night, and unfortunately you have to be a member, and it's at Mulcahy's tomorrow night in Wausau, but our guest is going to be Godsnow. So, Garth, if you're listening, we're giving you a question now. But, okay, John, you're on the spot. What's the first question you're going to ask Garth?
Did he expect things to go as well as they did go this season? That would be my first question to him.
Okay. That's a good question. You know, I mean,
you and I sat here
with Garth in September before the season went on, and we kind of thought that we would get, you know, the 88 to 92 points that we
right.
thought
just,
would get him
just get that,
to
that
get to
wild
the
card.
To the eighth spot. And again, you know, the 101, just missing second in division by a darn road game loss that I actually saw in D.C. that they lost in the shootout. So it's my fault, okay, John? But anyhow, I think my question to Garth is going to be, concerning not as a coaching decision, but as the structure, and what does a staff needs to do when they know things are going in a certain direction? Like, for example, we knew in the middle of the season that the penalty killer was struggling bad,
right?
And they somehow made that turnaround. And I think they were at like a 90% clip in the last 20 games of the season.
Yeah, people seem
into
to
the
forget
playoffs.
That, though.
They forget,
people
right.
People still harping on the PK and how much that turned around.
Cronin did a nice job.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of it also was the players. I think there was extra efforts. There was a lot of, soul searching on those guys, and he did. And I think it needed the same thing on the power play. And unfortunately, it turned out to be the Achilles heel in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not getting a power play goal
just one or two goals at certain points in that series would have made a big difference.
Absolutely would have. It absolutely would have. But anyway, listen, John, we're just about done. Jake Brown's going to be coming in on the second hour, and I'm sure he's got a lot of interesting talk to go through. Thanks for coming on. And we want to thank Todd Dewey from the Las Vegas Review-Journal for coming on to Sports Talk 1240. Again, unfortunately, we didn't get Jim Tamburino or Joe Spallina on, but please check out the websites. If you're on Facebook, Hockey is Hockey Day, June 5th and 6th, Twin Rinks at Eisenhower Park. I'm going to definitely be there all weekend. I hope you can, too. If you love the game like the way John and I do, we're going to try to get Sports Talk 1240 to be involved at some point. Also, if you definitely want to check out some lacrosse action, check out the New York Lizards on June 5th as they play the Florida Launch at Hofstra Stadium. Check out nylizards.com. And lastly, our Twitter handles, GHardingWGBB and Hockey Blindsight for John. For John Panarese, this is Gary Harding for Sports Talk 1240. And the words of my old friend Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.